Reformed Church.
Thank you so much, Jesus, for the revelation of your word and for the certainty that we have, Lord, that you can manifest through us. Father, I pray for your people right now for a certainty of hope for your people. Father, that if there's a particular part of our life that we are believing, that we're believing you over, Lord, a certain part of our life, Lord, that we're just, we want to see certain things rectified. Father, I just pray for certainty for your people if they are seeking you. And by seeking you, Lord, I mean if they're getting to know you, I pray for certainty, Lord, in their heart, that they would get over this uncertainty, that they would get over this being shaken and tossed to and fro, but that they would have a certainty in their heart over that particular area, not just over their quote-unquote salvation, but a certainty, Lord, that that particular area has been rectified by the cross and that they are just, they just know, Lord, in their heart that they're going to see that area rectified and your spirit manifesting in that area of their life. Father, I just pray for that certainty for your people. Thank you, Lord. That's called hope, but we're just calling it certainty for right now. Thank you so much, Lord, for that certainty. Thank you for the certainty, Lord, of the things that you've spoken to us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the enlargement of this ministry, and Father, for your word to go out for no other purpose but for your word to go out. It's not for bells and whistles and, Lord, and lights and cameras. It's for your word to go out, and that is the only reason. Father, I pray for the expanding of this ministry. Father, I pray that as this ministry expands that we would come to a unity, Lord, of the faith as we grow. Father, I pray that this ministry, as this ministry grows, Lord, that we would come to a unity of the faith, Lord, to the knowledge of the Son of God. Father, I pray that we would grow in unity in our minds, we would grow in unity in our perceptions, in our judgment. Thank you so much, Lord. Unity in our mentalities is so important, Jesus. Father, I pray for unity right now that your word gives as we all hear the same word and the same gospel. That is how we are unified together of the same mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord, for the gift of prophecy and for the gift of healing and for all these various different things, Father. But I pray that people would see that these things are of you and for them, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's not for a couple different people that get on stage. Our Father, I pray that they would realize this is part of what they have. It's part of their inheritance. And that they can work in your gifts and your grace, Lord, for whatever area it's needed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the movement of your Spirit through us. Because, Jesus, you already moved from on high 2,000 years ago, came to earth. You already did that. But now your Spirit is just moving to produce all the things, Jesus, through us that you already paid for. Thank you so much, Jesus. We just love you and we praise you. Thank you, Lord. We love you and we praise you. There is nothing better than seeking you and knowing you and therefore eating of the fruit of that knowledge. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, Jesus. God has more for you. God has more for you. Thank you so much, Jesus. God has more for you. God has more for your life than what you're doing right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If we can just fade the music down or out. I just want to speak to you guys just directly. I just feel that we can be content sometimes in our life with the results that we're getting and kind of just let someone else do all the stuff that God has. And you know, this church, attending this church is great, but you know, God has something for you though. God has something for you to do in the body of Christ. He has ministry and miracles and things to do in your life. And I think sometimes we can grow complacent and we just kind of sit on the sidelines and watch somebody else perform your miracles. That's important. And if you're content, you have not grown in your knowledge enough to understand the gift of God that's inside of you. You don't know until you're acting on it. Until you're acting on it, you don't understand. Because God has something he put inside of you, and until that becomes an action out of you, you don't understand. I'm not saying we do the action. I'm saying faith produces the action. Nevertheless, because faith produces actions, and James says that we show faith by works, I think we can become content with sitting on the sidelines and letting someone else produce your miracle. You realize that if you don't do it, Mordecai says to Esther that if she didn't do this to deliver the Jews, he said deliverance would arise from somewhere else. If you don't do it, someone else will do it, even though that may not have been God's first choice. Someone else will do it. And you could be watching someone on this stage, in this ministry, or in the body of Christ as a whole, performing your miracles. Things that God wants to do through you, but he has to do through somebody else because you haven't recognized the gift that's inside of you. You're content with believing someone else's word rather than you preaching the word. You're content watching someone else minister rather than you minister. You're content watching someone else serve and produce miracles in their life rather than you serving and producing miracles in your life. What that is a recognition of God, for sure, but it's a recognition of God in somebody else. And the Bible says that the only way to make things effectual in your life is to acknowledge every good thing that's in you, in Christ Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that position is promised to any of us. It is not part of the atonement of Jesus that you're going to be a pastor or have a worldwide ministry. That is not a promise from God. And in fact, if that's what you want, you shouldn't have it. Position is not something you should want. If God calls you to it, then that's fine to desire those things. But I guess my point is you shouldn't desire the position itself. So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying you have to have a position. In fact, actually, we were just talking even before service. The correct way that this happens is that you start bearing fruit first, and then God gives you position. When you're content being a shepherd boy, and you have God working through you, gifts of war, because really David was gifted that way, to fight a bear and a lion, and you're content. I'm a shepherd boy, but you know what? I'm just singing psalms to the Lord. I'm thanking God for what he's done. I'm content with Jesus, and whatever he has for my life, that's fine. But, you know, and I know he'll do it, and he'll bring it to pass. But if I'm a shepherd boy, you actually start bearing fruit now before you ever get to the position of king, so to speak. So I'm not talking about position when I talk about serving and ministering. And that's not what I'm talking about. But we are content many times to watch someone else fulfill your ministry. And I just believe that God is not for that kind of complacency. God is not for that. And because what I'm talking about is I'm addressing a mentality. I'm not addressing the outward actions, per se. I'm addressing the mentality behind our outward actions. You know, if you actually really want to correct somebody in a godly way, you don't just tell them that what they're doing is wrong. There's nothing wrong with saying that. But you look at what they're doing, okay? This is really important. You look at what they're doing, the actions, and then you say there is some kind of belief or unbelief behind that action. And so if you want to correct them, you say, Lord, what is the unbelief that they're not recognizing behind this particular thing in their actions? What's the unbelief behind that? And then correct that. Because our beliefs are what produce results in our life. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if there's death produced in your life, for instance, it's what's the unbelief behind it? What can I tell them to correct the mindfulness behind it? And that's what I'm addressing right now. And I'm just telling you that, let me just read you a couple verses and I'll just wrap this up. But let's see. 2 Timothy 4:5. This is the New King James Version. It's just a little bit easier to understand here. 2 Timothy 4:5, New King James Version. And it says, but you, referring to Paul speaking to Timothy, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. There is not a single, listen, if there is ever inaction on your part for ministering to other people, it is not because God doesn't want to do it. God has never called a person to not fulfill their ministry, ever. There is something it's come up a lot. I've been talking to the team about this sporadically too, that there are gifts of the Spirit, which are particularly offices even within the church. That does not mean a position in like a church, a ministry like this. I'm just talking about a gifting is a position that God gives you. It's a title he gives you. You don't have to have a recognition from anybody else. But there are certain things that God has called us to. And if you're not fulfilling that, it's not because it's all in God's timing. That it's not because, like, well, God's waiting for that perfect time to just exalt me to my position, and you know, and I'm gonna have this glorious position, and I'm gonna start doing my ministry. Fulfill your ministry. God has not called you to sit on the sidelines and watch someone else preach the gospel and heal the sick and raise the dead. That is not what God has called you to do. If you're waiting for leadership to do that and you just want to intake, and that's what you think it's, you know, and here's the funny thing too. At this church, we preach that faith produces works, right? You don't have to do the works themselves. You just do the believing, and faith will come as a result. And that's true. But you have to, it is important to tell people that works will be produced and tell them which works will be produced. You know why? Because if you don't tell them that, people will not see the works in their life and think, oh, I'm believing just fine. There's no works in my life, but I'm believing just fine. There's nothing wrong here. And they'll justify the lack of fruit in their life rather than say, you know what? When you tell someone, though, no, God has called you to this type of fruit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, and these are the gifts of the Spirit, speaking in other tongues and prophecy and, you know, laying hands on the sick. These are the various things that God wants to produce through you. It makes you look at that and say, you know what, Lord? No, I recognize that I have that in me. You start recognizing what you have in you, and you're not okay with the inaction of not seeing those things fulfilled in your life. It's so important to understand the fruit that God wants to produce in you. So when I say fulfill your ministry, I'm not saying just to get up and start changing something in your life, but I'm saying to recognize that if you are not fulfilling your ministry in serving the body of Christ, I'm saying that God has something for you that you're not doing, and it's not Him. It's not Him. It's not God saying He doesn't want you to do this. It's us not understanding the gift that He's put on the inside of us. And again, there are miracles that other people are doing that God wants you to be doing right now. There are things that people have never seen before that God wants you to be doing through you right now. But you have to first start understanding that, you know, let me just give you a quick example. If my body's sick and I'm told that, well, healing isn't necessarily for everybody. You're going to have to pray about it and see if God wants you healed. I could sit back and just say, well, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. But nothing's ever going to happen in my body because I'm seeing a result in my body and I'm content with it. And as long as you're justifying results in your life, you're not going to see any fruit there because it takes you understanding what you have in Christ and what can be produced through you to actually produce it. It's only when I look at sickness in my body, if it even was in my body, and say, this is not from God. I have better than this. And I actually start contradicting what I'm seeing and start believing the Lord. Then I'm going to see that change in my life. But if we're taught that basically lack of ministry in our life, in ministering to other people, that's normal, you know. Watch somebody else do it for a while. You know, you should just kind of watch leadership heal the sick. Watch leadership preach the gospel. Watch leadership put their hand to something. And you just do your thing. If we're told that, it makes us complacent in our belief, and we'll never ask God for more. We'll never reach out for more. We'll never believe for more because we're taught that that's normal. I'm trying to tell you this is not normal, and it's who you are in Christ, but those are not normal results. That's just lack of knowledge. And God has things for us to do in our life, and he'll do them through us, but it first takes understanding that, Lord, if I'm not fulfilling the ministry you have for my life, and again, it has nothing to do with a title, but if I'm not fulfilling the ministry you have for my life right now, if I'm not setting my hand to things, and if I'm not advancing the kingdom of God on this earth, Lord, it's not because you don't want to do it. It's because I'm missing something. And once you start recognizing the gift that's inside of you, and I'll close with this verse, and that's 1 Timothy 4:12, same chapter. 1 Timothy 4:12, still New King James Version, says, let no one despise your youth. Be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And Paul says, till I come, give attention to reading and exhortation and to doctrine. He's talking about teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is inside of you. When you're not fulfilling your ministry, you're neglecting the gift that's on the inside of you. That's what you're doing. Listen. I am trying to close here. When you look at somebody else serving, when you look at, let someone else advance the gospel. Let someone else put their hand to this. And sometimes that's going to entail position and title, but it doesn't have to. But when you're content to do that, you know what you're doing? You're recognizing the gift of God in somebody else, and you're not recognizing the gift of God in you. Can I tell you something? If you had a superpower, okay? Just real quick. If you had a superpower, then you can point to a surface, and money would appear on it. You don't think you would use that? You think that you would be content watching someone else do what they're doing, and you wouldn't use that? The second you recognize you had a gift inside of you to do that, you'd be pointing at every surface, right? You see what I'm saying? If you're not fulfilling your ministry, it's because you don't recognize the gift inside of you. If you're not laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, and ultimately whether they recover and whether you saw them recover or not is not the point. When you recognized the gift, you'd be praying for people, you'd be ministering, you'd be preaching the gospel. You'd be crawling to Pastor Zay and Miss Kim and saying, give me something to do. Let me scrub a toilet. Let me do something. You don't recognize the gift on the inside of you if you're not fulfilling your ministry. If you're not pointing to every surface on earth saying, money, money. And again, that's not a biblical thing. I'm just saying, if you had this superpower, if you knew you had the gift, you would certainly be using it. And you would ask Pastor Zay and Miss Kim to say, give me something to do because I got this gift inside of me that I can help people with. But if you don't see that, why would you do that? Why would you serve? Why would you pull someone aside and encourage them in the Lord if you got nothing to say? Let Pastor Jose tell people about Jesus. Let Pastor Jose lay hands on the sick and pray for people after service. You know, if someone needs prayer, go ask Pastor Jose. You see what I'm saying? If you're not fulfilling your ministry, you're neglecting the gift of God on the inside of you. If you don't use it, and you have, let me just say this, if you don't have any intention of using it, if that's not your belief system, you're neglecting it. You're neglecting. You're recognizing the gift in somebody else and not in you. And just to finish that, it says, do not neglect the gift that is inside of you, which was given you by prophecy and the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Verse 15, meditate on these things, because that's how it comes. Godly action doesn't come from acting. Godly action comes from faith and meditating. But if the action isn't there, there's a lack of meditating. You understand what I'm saying? Meditate on these things and give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. But again, all that stems from not neglecting the gift of God inside of you. So I just want to encourage you with that. Whether you interpreted that as encouragement or not, that's an encouragement. I stick to what I just said, though. It's the truth. And don't let someone else fulfill your ministry. Don't let someone else. I would encourage you. It may not be everything that you're doing does not have to be this glorious calling that you picture in your mind. That's not what I'm talking about. You can see miracles scrubbing toilets. You can see miracles in the nursery. You can see miracles talking to somebody on the street. Doesn't need to be even in the church. But I'm just trying to say, when someone else is fulfilling your ministry, you don't know the gift of God inside of you. Okay? Really important. I do mean that as a correction, but I mean it in a loving correction. You understand where I'm coming from with that? I do mean to correct a mentality here. That is my point. But I don't mean to condemn you with it. I mean to encourage you with it, to recognize, so that we recognize the gift in us and we know kind of where our mind's going wrong here. And so that's what I'm trying to do here. And it ultimately, if you accept that, I believe that that'll empower you, and it really won't condemn you if you think about that, okay?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.